From Hollywood, it's time now for Bob Bailey as...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Frank Porter, Allied Casualty.
Yes, Mr. Porter.
Well, call me Frank, Johnny. Now, you phoned yesterday about the McCormick matter. I got all the stuff about the case on my desk here, and we're still offering $7,500 reward.
Thanks for confirming it, Frank.
Sure. You got a tip or something?
An old con named Mike Cairn gave me a tip about a guy named Jojo Panny. I'm working on it.
Need any help?
No, not yet. I might. Jojo pulled out of his hotel last night, bag and baggage.
What are you going to do?
I'm on my way to Long Island.
Huh?
I want to talk to McCormick himself.
Oh. Johnny.
Yeah?
Let me give you a tip for your own good. Don't bother Julian McCormick unless you've really got something. Could be dangerous.
I think I've got something.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. To the Allied Casualty and Insurance Company Limited, Markham Building, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the McCormick matter. Item 4, $10 deposit on the car I rented to drive out to Julian McCormick's home on Long Island. And judging by the looks of the place, a safe full of $100,000 worth of jewelry would feel right at home. It was a mansion, and the rugs on the floor were an inch thick.
I'm sorry I've kept you waiting. Mrs. McCormick and I were packing for a little trip to Europe. Sit down, please.
Thanks. Going to be gone long?
Oh, we usually spend several months a year over there. We're a bit late this year. Our reservations are for next week.
I envy you, Mr. McCormick.
Dollar, the name?
That's right.
Forgive me, but I don't seem to recall having heard of you before.
Oh, it's okay. We never met. I'm an insurance investigator.
Oh, really? Am I being investigated or something?
No, nothing like that. It's just that I might have a lead on that jewelry that was taken from your home a few years ago.
Well, that's wonderful. You must tell me about it. Can I make you a drink?
No, thanks.
You're from the insurance company, Allied Casualty?
No, I'm not. I'm an independent investigator.
Well, why should anyone feel it necessary to call in a... Oh, I see. There's a reward, of course.
That's right.
Yes, of course. But now, tell me. How can I help you?
Well, I'm just checking a few things, Mr. McCormick. I haven't even gone over it with a man who handled a case for Allied. Possibly I have run into something that'll help. I don't know. I'd like you to tell me what happened.
My safe was opened and my jewelry taken.
I mean, how it happened.
Well, it was right in this very room. That's the wall safe there.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. McCormick and I had just returned from our honeymoon. 5 years ago it was.
Yeah?
All I know is that when I stepped into the library here that morning, the safe was open and everything was gone. Whoever did it was extremely clever and quiet, I must say.
Was the safe cracked?
No, it was just open. Someone figured the combination or something like that.
Well, who knew the combination at the time?
Only myself, Mr. Dollar.
You're sure of that?
Why, of course.
I see.
I reported it to the police right away here on Long Island, then some men from New York City. We're here, too.
And your insurance company?
I reported it to my insurance company immediately. They had a man on the scene as soon as the police. Mr. Porter.
Frank Porter?
Yes. You know him?
I've talked to him on the phone. I haven't met him.
A very nice chap. He worked very hard trying to recover it.
I'm sure he did. Did they have an adjuster?
Yes.
How much did you collect, if you don't mind?
Not much.
What do you mean?
Well, it was unfortunate. By keeping that much jewelry in a small house safe, it seems I violated a clause in the contract. It should have been kept in a safety deposit box or some such. Consequently, the matter went into litigation. I'm afraid the court found me at fault. I collected only a part of the insured value, $20,000. So, you can see, I certainly welcome the recovery.
Sure.
The jewelry was in the family a good many years. I had given it to my wife, and I... Well, a man hates to lose things he loves.
Yes, I understand. Was Mrs. McCormick here the morning it happened?
Oh, yeah?
I'd like to talk to her.
She's terribly busy, but if you think it's sufficiently important, I'll call her.
No, never mind.
I'm curious, Mr. Dollar. This case has been closed a long time. At least, no one's contacted me or asked me for any information about it for at least 4 years. What opened it?
A man named Mike Cairn.
Huh? Who's he?
An old convict up at Ossining who shared a cell for a while with a man named Joe Panning.
Uh-huh.
Cairn died yesterday, but before he died, he told me he thought Panning had something to do with it. He'd heard him mention your name.
Well, it seems to me you should talk with this Joe Panning.
I did, and I will some more, as soon as I locate him again. Right now, he's missing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, thanks for the time, Mr. McCormick.
You let me know if you learn anything?
Sure.
Do you honestly think you can recover that jewelry?
With any luck at all.
That would be wonderful, wonderful.
You think so?
Why, yes, of course.
Mrs. McCormick might be glad to know about it, too.
Huh?
You said it was her jewelry. I don't know why I said that to him. Just a sudden impulse. But he wasn't smiling when he walked me to the door, shook my hand, and patted me on the shoulder. I had a funny feeling that Mr. Julian McCormick was scared like a rabbit of me. I drove back to the city, had lunch at Walgreens, and dropped into Allied Casualties' New York office to pick up the folder on reward information. I met Frank Porter and liked him right away, a big red-headed man in a tweed suit.
Gee whiz, Johnny, it makes me feel older than ever doing this.
How come?
Well, I weighed 15 pounds less when this case started, June 1951. Ah, here we are. These are pictures of the stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now, that one they call Tierra del Fuego. Huh? Some necklace, hmm?
I see why.
Yeah, and this one was called Imperial, in the royal family of Russia at one time. And this is the other one. Placid.
Beautiful stuff.
Oh, you can say that again.
That all of it?
Well, that's about the size of it, Johnny. $100,000 gone.
Yeah.
Help any?
Sure. It's nice to know what I'm trying to find.
Well, I hope you have better luck than I did.
Yeah. Say, who was the police officer on the case?
Martin. Dules Martin.
Out of Central?
Yeah. We ran down every lead we could find, big and small.
The file said you made 12 arrests.
Yeah, something like that, but not one of them panned out. Had to let them all go. Martin requested pickups on every big-time jewelry man in the country. Now, I don't think one of them was overlooked.
Well...
No, Johnny, somebody just simply walked in that house, opened the safe as neat as you please, and walked right out with all of this. Very slick job. Had to be an experienced man.
Well, might have been a first job for someone just starting in. He got lucky.
Yeah, we thought of that, and we didn't think much of it after a while.
Thank you.
Gee whiz, Johnny, you know, nobody could be that lucky. Case the house, know exactly where the safe was, know what was in it, get in, open it up, and get out without anybody, servants, the McCormicks, or any of their friends even seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't even the hardest part, you see. Not one scrap of this stuff has ever turned up anywhere.
Yeah, well,
anywhere. Now, what did whoever took it do with it? Did he break it down, sell it overseas? What? Not a trace of it. Imagine that.
Imagine.
You know what I think? I think the guy who swiped all this stuff still has it. I think he's sitting around waiting for it to cool off.
Could be.
But it's never going to cool off, Johnny. There isn't a city in this country or across the ocean that isn't on the lookout for these pieces.
I suppose.
Now, sooner or later, hot boy or lucky boy, well, whoever he is, will make a move. Meantime, we just wait. Unless, of course, you've got something for us to look into.
Not yet, Frank.
Yeah. Well, when you have, we'll be right with you all the way.
Good, good.
How about a drink?
Take a rain, sir.
Okay. But remember, we got a whole floor full of lawyers upstairs. They can get up warrants, writs, seizure orders, anything you might want.
Yeah.
You just let me know when you get somewhere and we'll go to work.
I'll do that, Frank. I left Frank Porter and went back over to the poll office to see what had developed with Joe Panning. After all, if he didn't report in, he'd be in violation of his parole, be in real trouble. But nothing had developed. He hadn't put in a change of address, nothing. So I went back to my hotel and had some dinner. Then I shaved, changed my clothes. Expense account, item 5, $1.50 cab fare. I garaged my rented car, went back to Central Police Station, and pulled out the mug on Joe Panning once more, hoping to get a line on some friends or relatives of his where he might be staying. Up till then, things had been going pretty routine. Then a clerk from the parole offices stepped across the hall.
Hi, Mr. Dollar.
Hi.
Thought it was you I saw in here. I wasn't sure. How's it going?
Fine, fine.
Talk to your friend Jojo Panning yet?
Not today. Why?
You seemed awful anxious to talk to him, is all.
I am.
Why don't you go see him?
You're playing games. I've been trying to find out where he is all day.
And I already told you.
You what?
Sure, I gave it to you half an hour ago when you phoned.
When who phoned?
Sure, about half an hour ago. Look, Joe Panny called in and told me his address.
Yeah?
I no sooner set down the phone than you called in and said, this is Johnny Dollar. Have you heard from Joe Panny?
What?
I said, yeah, and I told you his address. That's all.
What address did you say?
The Allen Hotel on 115th Street. Same place he was before. What's the matter? You forget?
It took me 10 minutes to get from the police station over to the Allen Hotel. 10 minutes of wondering who'd put in that call and used my name. I went up the stairs, two at a time, up to the second floor. And right at the top of the landing, I bumped into a dark-haired woman wearing a silver fur
coat. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you.
It's all right. You hurt?
No, not at all. Please, let me go past. I'm in a hurry.
Yeah, I'd be in a hurry, too.
What do you mean?
The gun.
What?
You should carry it on the inside of your purse.
Oh, I didn't...
Suppose I take it.
No, let go of me. You...
Fingernails, son. Give it to me.
All right, take it.
She'd given it to him, all right, right on the side of the head. It didn't knock me out, but it did knock me off balance, so I tangled up at the hall table. And that gave her plenty of time to scurry down the stairs while I got out of the furniture and back on my feet. By the time I got down the stairs and out on the street, she was nowhere in sight. No one yelled, I'm shot. No one did anything but what they were already doing.
Hi.
Where were you just now? You weren't here at the front desk.
I was out back eating my dinner. Why?
Nothing. You happen to see that woman who just ran through here?
No.
Tall, dark-haired woman, about 30, wore a mixed stole.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding. In this joint.
No.
You still looking for Joe Panny?
He lives here again, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Have you seen him? Where is he?
Out.
I sat down with myself and waited. A half an hour later, when the clerk went back to finish his dinner, I stepped over to the desk and borrowed his pass key and went back up the stairs to room 210. I didn't need the passkey, and I didn't need to doubt the clerk. Joe Panny wasn't there. But all of his things were. The curtains were drawn and the windows closed. Every drawer had been pulled out of every dresser. The mattress on the bed was slit from top to bottom, and the rug had been ripped and turned over. Expense account, item 6, $1, one drink. From me. I left JoJo's room, went to the nearest bar, sat down, and had a drink. A scared victim, a missing con, a dark-haired woman wearing a mink and a gun, and other things. Right then and there, I decided that Mike Cann's tip had been pretty good at that.
Here's our star, Bob Bailey, to tell you about tomorrow's episode.
Thanks. Tomorrow, a slight case of mayhem. When the right guy turns up in the wrong place. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.